بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هذا مواد قاري طيب صاحب رحمة الله عليه. This is our principal. He was traveling alongside with Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. It was the hour of Namaz. And they had used their discretion to perform Namaz in a certain direction. Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh asked them to repeat the namaz. Qari Sahib Rahmatullahi asked why we use our discretion and then did we perform our namaz in that direction. So Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi explained that using discretion is in a situation where there is nobody to find out the direction. When there is a person, you must find out from him, and if there is no person around, then you use your discretion. So at every point, these people, they would conform to fiqh, to hadith, to the sunnah. They won't slip up. That was the beauty in them. And within them, they'd be very jolly also. They'd exchange some words here, there. So Qari Sahib Rahmatullah says, at that time, Mufti ke saad safar karna bara mushkil hai. To be traveling with the Mufti Sahib is very difficult. One person came, Abu Zamana, was a musafir. So he thought of performing namaz with Qari Sahib. So he says to Qari Sahib, see, I'm a musafir and you are a muqeem. So I'm not going to destroy my concession because of you. So I'll lead the namaz, you read behind me. He says to Qari Sahib. So there's a small discussion going on and they agreed, all right, Qari Sahib Rahmatullah will perform the namaz for whatever reason. So anyway, after the namaz, Qari Sahib discovered that he forgot to make masa on his socks. So now he turns around to Qari Sahib and says, "Aur kitni namaz padhayenge? From 2 to 4, or 4 to 8. So their hearts were very, very good, very clean, very good. Their hearts didn't know what was madness like. They were in that period, though they had some challenges, problems, difficulties, but when together, no malice, even in the absence, I would notice in Qari Sahib Rahmatullahi's majlis, if Mufti Sahib wasn't around, then I would go to Qari Sahib Rahmatullahi. Qari Sahib Rahmatullahi wouldn't entertain any ghibat. Imagine now, he's the head of the madrasa. But this has got about 3,000 students, right? And then, accordingly, they'll have so much of staff. Right? So there will be someone's complaint coming occasionally. This is happening here. That person is doing something else. Like in a big institute, right? You must have these things happening. But Qari Sahib Rahmatullah would divert the whole thing such a way that the person lost count of what he was talking about. Just divert the whole topic. And there won't be any ghibat. There was that difference in our period where Indira Gandhi, she was enforcing that family planning. And this thing was going on. It was going on for some time. And eventually she lost her seat, a vote of non-confidence was given, and she was replaced by Morarji Desai. So, now it's obvious now, Qari Sahib Rahmatullahi, he was very well known in politics as well. And Indira's party was Congress. Right? That was the original Muslims party. From the time of Madani Sahib Rahmat, that was the party originally. And they had to join in, because they're not talking of, we are talking about 1-2 million here, right, Muslims. India got about over 100 million Muslims. So Muslims' rights, their rights, what's going to happen. Right? So someone has to stand. Someone has to do something. Now, if everybody says, no, I don't want to get into any controversy and fight and all that, you got your rights. Now, there's a talaq issue that is carrying on in India. If these ulama are not going to stand up, what's going to happen? So they have to stand for the benefit of the Muslims. So it's not that they like to get into politics, but in order to protect the rights of the Muslims, they have to stand. Like when we were there, then the government had passed a law that any new masjid cannot be built. Any new masjid, any thing in the name of deen, like madrasa, maktab, cannot be built until it is passed by the central government. So Mawla Asad Sahib Rahmatullah, he was in politics, he knew what is their plan. Their plan was now, if there was something to do with Hinduism, they will build it, put it, they'll pass it very quickly. But any Muslim thing, then they will just stop it or they'll delay it. They won't allow it to come up. Now, he was in politics, he knew now what's the game, what's on the cards, he knows. So now he has to play, and he's play his game very quickly, very smartly. So he called for a conference in Delhi, right, in the whole of India. Within 24 hours, there was over 1.5 million Muslims rallying and protesting. The government just had to scrap that law. Now, he had to do it. Why he had to do it? So, you will not say that every person that stands up, his intentions are wrong, he's corrupt. You will not say that. Alright, there may be some weaknesses. We don't want to cover up and support the weaknesses. But very daring person, very, very daring person. As we were there, there were some communal rights, Hindu-Muslim rights. The Muslims were getting killed. So when there's a communal rights, and then they have a thing like some law they call it, where you can't move in freely. What they call it? Curfew, yeah. Can't move it. In that curfew, Mawla Asad Sahib had his attache and he's moving. And they stopped him. So he produced his card that he's an MP and he must be allowed. So they had to allow him. Later on they asked him, Mawla, what? He said, no, I would have gone, right? And because of my presence, etc., Muslims would have been protected. In the process, if I was killed, I would have been a shaheed. So nothing to worry about. That bravery, it reminds you of Hussein radiallahu anhu, right? He's also a Sayyid, but so daring. Now he's seeing, now if I'm not going to go, right, then so many Muslims are going to be killed. I'm going to go, I'm risking my life. Because the curfew now, they shoot you on sight. They see you and they shoot you on sight. Right? So he's risking his life. But he knows now, all right, I've got the chance of, because of my position, the clout I have, I can do something. So this political thing is going on, and when this Morarji Desai comes into parliament, then in that year or something, then he imprisons Indira Gandhi, some wrong in her practices, and she's jailed. And when she's jailed, so, because a lot of ulama were getting their things done. See, a madrasa needs to be built, Muslim laws need to be guarded. So they don't have that type of power. Because this will be the majority. When they're in the majority, what are you to do? So you have to support them and get your work done through that. Right? Like you have to do some work in this country, right? So you have to get into contact with the police. Right? The police will do your work for you, right? So it's not that you are supporting a kafir, but now how else are you going to do your work? If someone is abusing your rights, you will have to employ a kafir attorney sometimes, right? Why? Just to guard your rights. Then you don't want to say, you know, he's Muslim against kafir. You don't want to say that. Because the system is such that you have to use someone to get your work done. Well, that's why I say, we don't understand all the halat, and we can't run down every alim. And I don't say that every alim is like a nabi, that he's totally innocent. There could be some mistakes here and there. I do not say that they are, across the board, they are right. But to run down and to criticize every alim, so when she was imprisoned, then some ulama also went into prison, right, as a protest. I think over 100,000 people went to prison. So the prisons got jammed up. They had to cancel the whole thing. So she was released, I think, within about 5 or 6 days. But now she'll recognize that these ulama, they also had supported her. So when she's back in power, then she will do things. Unfortunately, this is how it happens. So now I was sitting there by Qari Sahib Rahmatullahi while this whole commotion is going on. And one influential person, and he blurts out, Aajkal ulama-i kiram ka hal ye ho gaya hai, ke kisi hindu kafira ke liye apne aap ko musibat mein phans dete hai. Ula tulqu bi aydikum ila tahluka, that ayat. Now, amongst the Muslims there will be, you know, people of different thoughts, right? In the different thoughts, someone will be supportive, someone will be against. You must expect all that. But now, Qari Sahib Rahmatullahi is so calm, composed, and just one sentence, he just turns the whole topic and he's gone to something else. He says, haan, bhai, siyasi maslihat hua karti hai. And he carried on. He just covered the whole thing. The whole thing was just covered and he's carried on. Sometimes you think, now, will we ever get that type of zamana? People with so clean hearts, so good hearts, so clean hearts. You know, immaculate, absolutely clean. Like I say, I do not say that they were perfect in every respect. There is a Nabi who doesn't have any flaw. In their reasoning, in their judgment, they may be making mistakes. Not that they will not make a mistake. But definitely you can vouch for their cleanliness, their purity. You can vouch for it. This type of akhlaq, this type of character comes after some struggle. We think, or we just heard some stories here and there, and we got it already. That's the problem in this day. I read something, I know about it, I gave a bayan on that, so I know the thing. I've got it. That's how we feel. Give a bayan on patience, for example, so no, I know what is sabr. Don't teach me about it. I've got it already. So you read it, right? You wrote an article, and you gave a bayan on that. So now you're an authority on that subject. Nobody must come and teach you about sabr. Whereas we fail to understand, one is to know the subject, and one is to have it. One is to know it, one is to apply it. It's worlds apart, two total different things. Someone asked Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. All know the translation. Man and jinnat have been created only for the worship. So he asked Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, why is this said to be something exclusive with man? Man and jinn have been created only for the worship. Whereas the Quran Sharif says, وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. Everything recites the tasbih of Allah Ta'ala. Everything is in worship. Whether it's a wall, whether it's a column, whether it's a brick, whether it's a stone. Right? Everything recites and glorifies Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Right? So when everything glorifies Allah Ta'ala, then why is the Quran Sharif saying that man and jinn, the purpose of their creation is just ibadat? It's a genuine question, no? So these people, Allah Ta'ala has enlightened their hearts. Their minds work like our minds don't work, right? As though, you know, it's stated that every ayat has got a zahir and a batin. They discovered both. They discovered the zahir and they discovered the batin. The surface meaning, they have understood that. And the deeper meaning also they have understood. So, Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah explained, the nature of ibadat of a man is different to every other creation. Right? In two respects. In one respect, every other creation doesn't have a choice. It doesn't have a choice to do things or not to do things. It doesn't have a volition. It just does it. Etiya tawan aw karha, right? So they have no choice but to do. But man does things with his own choice. With your choice, you will read your Zuhur namaz, inshallah. You will apply your volition. If there's anything haram, though it is tempting, though it is luring, but you will stop. Right? In your tracks, you will stop. So every other thing, it doesn't have that. It doesn't have that right to restrain, to resist, or to do. So it does things, but it does things involuntarily. So that's, in every other creation, it will do things, but involuntarily. Right? Man will do it out of his volition and choice, number one. Number two, the second primary difference between man and other creations is, man, see, to understand ibadat, understand slavery. You know, you say abd. So we are the slaves of Allah Ta'ala, not workers. A worker is different to a slave. Slavery is different, and to be a worker is a different thing, right? A worker can be working in different departments, in different areas, right? So one person is working for you, perhaps he's an accountant, right? But he's working for you. There's another person working for you as an attorney. Like you see big companies, they have their own attorneys, right? Right. There's someone else working for you, but he's a doctor, right? So they're all workers. In principle, they're workers, though they may not like the word workers, but in principle what they are doing, they are working for you. Right? Now, if you tell the doctor, right, you know what, you have to sweep the floors today, he will turn around and say, but I wasn't employed for that. That's not my job. Right? Or you say the attorney, you know what, from today, you will have to check into the mess, see all the food. It's cooked right, see all the ingredients, everything is right. You do the cooking. You prepare all the food. But that's not my cup of tea. Don't ask me to do that. I wasn't employed for that, right? So he'll, straight away, he will just object. So that's a worker, right? He will only do that work which he was employed for, nothing else. Then you look at a slave. So the understanding of a slave is totally different, right? He doesn't have a choice. Choice not in this sense that he doesn't do things with volition. He does things with volition, but he cannot refuse. Whatever is told to him, he cannot object. He doesn't have the right to object. The one day, the boss will tell him, all right, today you have to clean the toilets. So he cannot despise the work. He'll therefore just do the work. Then he asks him to sweep the floors. He'll do it. You may ask him, all right, now you must prepare the food. He'll do it. Then he says, all right, now today what you need to do is this vacuum. So he'll do the vacuuming, right? So whatever duty is assigned to him, he will do it. And he'll have to do it with a smile. Then if he tells him, all right, see, I'm going abroad for a two-month holiday, so you're going to sit in my place and administer all my affairs. So at one level, he was cleaning the toilets. Now he's sitting at the boss's place and he's administering all the boss's affairs. See, from where to where. He'll have to do it. So that's called a slave. He can be at the lowest of the low and he can be at the highest of the high. He has to do it and he has to do it with a smile. He has to do it and do it with pleasure. He doesn't have the right to object. So now, this is the meaning of abdiyat. Abdiyat is when Allah Ta'ala will command you, whatever work is assigned to you, then you'll just do it and you'll do it with a smile. You will not say, no, I cannot work at this position, I cannot do this work here, I won't do this work here. No. So now you go and sleep. So you must sleep. Outwardly it may seem that you're not in ibadat, but that will be counted as ibadat. See, you are making zikr in Quran Sharif and yaglibuhu an-nu'as. The sleep is overtaking you. Right? Reading again, and again the sleep is overtaking you. You are reading just now, you are reading maybe 11th sibara ya'tadhiruna ilaykum idha raja'atum ilayhim, and the sleep overtook you, and somehow you landed in the second sibara. Doesn't it happen? You've tried to wonder where, you know, I started the, where I landed now. So the hadith is saying, now you go and sleep. لَأَلَّهُ يَذْهَبُ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبَّهُ. It's likely that he will intend to make zikr, read tasbih, etc. In the meanwhile, he can be swearing. He doesn't know what's going on. He's not in his full senses. So the hadith tells him, you must go and sleep. So for this person, that sleep is only an ibadat. Outwardly, it seems, you know, he left all ibadat out and he's sleeping. But really what it means, this person is in ibadat. Now, he wants to perform namaz, but there's a pressing urge to go toilet. Pressing urge. So the hadith is telling him, now you don't go into namaz, you go and go to the toilet and relieve yourself. If he's going to be performing namaz in that state, la salata lahu. His namaz, he's not going to get any reward for it. Alright, he's absolved of the obligation, but no salah for that. وَهُوَ يُدَافِعُهُ الْأَخْبَثَانِ. He wants to go toilet now, pressing number one, number two. He's pressing the thing, he's making ruku, squeezing himself somehow or the other, just going through the motions. So the hadith is saying, no namaz for you. Now, this person here, he's sitting in the toilet and he's eating sawab for that. And that person is in namaz and is eating guna for that. You see that? So it's not just the outward appearance. No, no. It's a different meaning. Outward appearance, it would seem like this person is up to nonsense, he's in the toilet all the time. And outward appearance, this person is in namaz all the time. But as far as the merit and the reward is concerned, the whole concept is different. The whole concept is different. So we will instruct you what you must do. It is not you that will decide. We will say what you must do. Not you that will decide. In any given situation. You know, they talk about this Mansur, Anal Haqq and all that. This different explanations they give about the validity of his statement. Ma mi kunem. When he said Al Haqq, Anal Haqq. Different reasonings, right? So one reason that they give, just to make you understand, that Fir'aun said a similar statement, Anal Haqq, right? Haqq is the sifat of Allah Ta'ala. So when he said Anal Haqq, so he says, I am Allah Ta'ala as though. Ana Rabbukumul A'la. Fir'aun said that, right? What he said? Ana Rabbukumul A'la. I am your Rabb Supreme. According to the Mufassirin, Fir'aun was an atheist. Right. Being an atheist, so he felt that the head of the state is the Rabb, because he takes care of the whole world, of the whole country. When he takes care of the country, so he is the Rabb. And as far as the father is concerned, the father takes care of his household. So he's a small Rabb. But the Rabbukumul A'la, the main Rabb, The supreme Rabb is the one that takes care of the entire country, entire state. So therefore he said, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. So he didn't believe in a Rabb. So therefore he asked, فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَ يَا مُوسَى. So Musa alayhi salam told him something that was not within his capacity. So he says, رَبُّكُمُ الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. See that. رَبُّكُمُ الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. Your Rabb, right? Now see what you are and see the Rabb. Our Rabb, what he does. From non-existence, he gives you existence. أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ. He created him. He brought you from where? Like, we all sitting here, right? 100 years ago, where were we? Were we anywhere around? Yeah? Katrada people, they live very long. 190, 95. Yeah? The Imtiaz's grandfather, what is it? 95, 94? 91, yeah. So, Allah brings you from non-existence to existence. Adam se wujud milate hai. So do you do that? In other words, Musa Islam is alluding, can you do that? Show me, can you do that? From non-existence, you can bring something to existence. All you will do is, you will, murakab, what do you say, murakab? Tarkib dena. Compose, yeah. All you will do is you will put the things in place, right? Like a motor car. You won't say you're the creator of the motor car. Do you say that? No. Why? Because the raw material was all present, right? All the raw material was around. But you put all those raw materials together and you made a motor car. Didn't you do that? Can you say you brought that motor car from non-existence to existence? Parts were all around. You just put it together. But as far as yourself is concerned, you went around at all. And Allah brought you from non-existence to existence. Right. So he says, أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ. So in other words, he's alluding to Firaun. Some years ago, you were not around also. He gave you that creation. Otherwise, you didn't come of your own. He brought you from non-existence to existence. Right. And there is not only you, every creation. Whether it's you, Firaun, or it's a cockroach, Labak did everything. He brought them from non-existence to existence. And not only there, he doesn't stop there. Summa hada. Then every creation, Allah Ta'ala gave that creation its respective instinct, call it an instinct, call it a tabiat, right? Temperament. Everything has got a different temperament. Who gave it that temperament? Right? A bird will build a nest. Right? Science will say instinct, right? But who instilled that instinct into that bird that this is how you construct a nest? Who did it? Right? Well, I got rabbits there, right? So I have to tell him all the time, but I think he's coming onto the road. So he said, no, I think making furrows from inside coming out. Now, who gave it that instinct? That thing will go deep down the ground, come out of the other side. Who gave you that instinct? I ask you, right? That honeybee, right, is eating the same thing, perhaps, as any other insect, right? Butterfly or whatever, right? Butterfly, and you got a honeybee. They're eating the same thing. But this thing is producing honey. Shifa'ul linnas. And that thing is producing silk. Now, who gave you that instinct? Who made it? I ask you. So Allah Ta'ala wants us to look at His creation. But don't look at the creation and stop there. See Him. Within His creation, you must see Him. Now, we make it like just an experiment or an excursion. You know? Just go see how this thing is happening, that is happening. But look beyond. The swallow, they talk about the swallow, right? When it's hibernating, right? Or it's going from one country to the other country, right? So it knows exactly where to go. You know, when they were building this Shaka airport here, the person that was in charge of the building, he's telling me that approximately 5 or 10 million swallows come from the Europe in the winter seasons to Durban. 5 or 10 million. Right? They know exactly the spot that they must come. Now we're taking, building all these boulders. Now we're creating a problem for them because they're used to this territory. Now where are they going to go to? See? But they know exactly that in the winter they must come at this spot, and the summers they must go back to Europe. They know the route exactly. I asked you, who put that satellite in their minds that this is the route you must take and this is where you're going to stop? Who put it into their minds? Who put the navigator? Yeah, from here to Maritzburg, you need a navigator. And that thing is traveling 5-10,000 Ks, it's moving, like, non-stop, it's going, day, night, it's moving. No navigator, but who put it in his mind? You will just say it's instinct, but then who created the instinct? Don't stop there, carry on. You know, that's what I'm saying, don't stop where science stops. Right? So move on. You know, when you say that nothing can come out, nothing can come up without a creator, now who created that instinct? Right. You hear of this, some of these fishes, right? When the thing is going to lay its eggs and all that, right? Then it is moving again 7,000-8,000 kilometers from the place where it hatched, right? And sometimes to go back there, it has to jump 10 meters, 20 meters on a, you know, on a surface or something. It has to jump. It'll jump. Going back to the same. Sometimes it has to go into sweet waters. It'll do everything. It'll go exactly at that spot where it was born, where it was hatched. Lays eggs and all that, whatever it has to do, and it's coming back. Now, who's created that instinct in it? Ask yourself. To be so precise, to go exactly at that spot, you know, where it was hatched, it goes back exactly there. Who created that? So, أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ, gave it its creation and its guidance. What was appropriate for that creation, Allah Ta'ala gave it the guidance. Right? Allah Ta'ala created the cat in our context, right? The cat, and that thing's temperament is totally different, for example, to a goat, right? Both may outwardly seem to be the same in the features, right? This thing here, at night it can see and it can go and attack. Right? And you will see the light emitting from its eyes. When you see it at night, you see a cat, you see a light. Allah gave it. And that goat at night is docile, khalas, shayla, it's gone. It's finished its duty now, shayla, go to rest. So both are animals, but this thing's temperament is totally different, and that thing's temperament is totally different. Both are alike otherwise. But this thing is different, that is, his behavior is different, someone's behavior is different. So who gave it that type? So as though Musa alayhi salam is asking Fir'aun, alright, you say you're the creator, right? You're the Rabb, then who gave it that existence of a one, and that type of temperament, that thing must behave like that, and this thing must behave like this? Who created, who gave it? So at the end of that whole discussion, right, Fir'aun got mad and he says, "Inna rasulukum lakum alladhi ursila ilaykum la majnun." He's mad. But he didn't realize that he was getting mad. Because in the next breath he says, "La inni takhasta ilahan ghayri la aj'alannaka min al masjunin." Now you ever talk of another god, we're imprisoning you now. See, when a person loses the arguments, then he becomes emotional. He lost now, totally lost. So then he becomes emotional because he's got no reasoning now. So we're talking about mankind, right? And we said, مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Right? This is where we broke off the argument or the discussion, branched off. So, man can be assigned with any duty at any time. And ma kana lahumul khiyara, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. He will choose. He will say what you must do. مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ. You don't have the choice. You mustn't say, I'll do this, I'll do that. You will try. This is the whole essence of the tasawwuf. أُرِيدُ أَنْ لَا أُرِيدُ وَأَخْتَارُ أَنْ لَا أَخْتَارُ. That I don't have the choice of my own. My Rabb must decide. Whatever. Now, as you want the training, when you're saying that you have left it to Allah Ta'ala, in the training that you refer to your senior. Now, whatever my senior decides for me, I will do that. Right. This Sayyid Ahmad Rifai Rahmatullah Alayh, we hear of that incident where the hand of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had come out from the Roza-e Mubarak, right? And he took the hand and he kissed it, right? Right, the poetry that he read at the time. في حالة البعد روحي كنت أرسلها. Some of you must know that poetry, right? When I was abroad, I was living in Sham somewhere, then I needed to convey salams to you, to your blessed personality. Then I used to convey salams through my ruh. Whichever way I was doing it, Allah Pak knows. We don't have to get into that nitty-gritty, right? We'll talk at our level. Sometimes we want to know how they did it and what they did. Why leave that? It's not within your scope of understanding, leave it, no? Don't pretend like you are like them. Mawthamis Abraham says that we went to somewhere in Punjab with the principal of the madrasa, Mahabibur Rahman Sahib. So in Punjab, there is a place where they say there are some Anbiya alayhi salam that are buried. Well, they must have gone there. What was that place? Baras, yeah. So Mahabibur Rahman Sahib sat down in meditation, right? Some students also, they thought, now Mulana is doing this, let's we also meditate. So one time they objected. He said, see, tumhari dil ki aankhe to band hai, aisa na ho ke haqeeqi aankhe bhi band ho jaye. You don't have that eyes to see all these things here. Yeah? You're pretending the eyes you got, perhaps that it goes away also. You don't pretend. You reach that stage, then that becomes natural. But you didn't reach that stage, now you're trying to pretend. So this pretending and making up, all of us like that, right? We all like pretending, making up, make us feel like we're something that we are not. We just remain at your position. Like the farishtas, they say, وَمَا مِنَّا إِلَّا لَهُ مَقَامٌ مَعْلُمٌ. Just stay in your place. They stay in their places, they don't move out. So the stage, the position you are in, just remain in that place. Don't pretend to be what you're not. And also don't aspire for kayfiyat. Someone has got some kayfiyat, right? Some spiritual experience he's getting. So you don't worry about that. You don't aspire for that. And according to more time of today, the better thing is not to share your spiritual kayfiyat with others also. You got an experience. You don't share it with anybody but your sheikh. For two reasons. Why? Because if you're going to be sharing, say for example, you see a lot of dreams and all that, and you're going to tell the other murids, the other murids also become anxious. Hey, he's getting it, I'm not getting it. Or he may think that, hey, you know, really, I'm not progressing and these people are progressing. So he can go into some type of depression. That the other people are progressing, they're moving on the spiritual ladder, and I'm nowhere. So the other is you don't share it with anybody, but you share it with your sheikh. Why? Because if you want to keep it to yourself, sometimes it's likely that the shaitan may play games with you. You are moving very far now. See, I'm seeing things now. You are moving now. So that ujub can come into you, can destroy you. See now how fine this path is. You're going through that, and you can't go and discuss it with everybody, but you must discuss it with your sheikh. So sometimes the sheikh, what he'll do, he'll make some dua or something and close the thing up completely. All the bioscope that you've seen, other people have to carry cell phones to see bioscope. You know, one was making dua, one part of them making dua. last night. Huh? So I said, oh, you don't want to kick the TV down. The TV is in the house, it's inside the pocket. Wherever you go, it's there. In fact, worse things are there. How are you going to control that? Muhammad, any idea? How are you going to control that? The only thing that I can come up with, that most of all, in fact, all of you will disagree, just get a simple phone. Simple. Sida sada. Only phone and SMS, that's all. Nobody's prepared for that. Because I ask this question all the time, I ask this question. Anybody got a little bit of a more smartphone, right? Tell me, in all the time that you used it, anything haram didn't pop up. You were looking for something, maybe something Islamic also, you know, Islamic site or whatever. But something popped up, right? And that pop must have been inside the heart. And then to delete that pop is difficult. What do haram things come up? I don't know how a phone works really. Up to now, I don't know, alhamdulillah. And I don't desire to know also. But I ask you that you got the thing. Can you see that you were trying for something and something didn't pop up? And can you see that that picture wasn't captivating? Yesterday I was saying that, you know, this is dangerous. It's very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. I know people up to the age of 70, they come and tell me, when something pops up, we look at the thing, that picture is already carved in our minds, making ruku and the thing is coming up again. Making sajda and it's coming up again. And after that, people come to say, yeah, it's a fact, genuine. Right. Imagine at 70, 60, and these pictures are all, ما هذه التماثيل التي أنتم لها عاكفون. So this is a disaster. When you say intellectual apostasy and all that, this is one of the things. I think it's just a loose cannon. This phone is a loose cannon. Anytime, anything, it just come up. Sometimes they will send some message. Now you, in one group, the Murana was here, Murana Mullah, he left now, 3-4 days ago, what, Ziyad Mullah. So he's telling me, as he was leaving, which are very simple, very from that time he was studying till now, very simple, straightforward, simple, no anky-panky, nothing, absolutely nothing. Balamanas, right? So he's telling me, you know, last time I came here, then you were speaking out against the phones, you know, then I made a niyat, I left it out, I threw it up. Now his words, he's telling me. But you know, I left that thing, and before that I was joined to so many groups, this group here, that group, this group here, third group, fourth group, and everybody's posting some information or the other. Now I cut the thing off, Mona, I got some sukoon, that's the word, with a lot of mud, sukoon I got, sukoon adil. That people now, they try to imitate the Junaid Jamshed, right? Dil badal, de dil, no, this dil badal like ye surat hai, bhai. Uli Ilyas? It's part of his dua, dil badal de. So one easy way to scrap this thing is just scrap that phone. And I tell you, it's such a big reward you'll be. In fact, you'll be imitating Hazrat Abu Talha radiyallahu anhu. You know, you say, imitate the life of the Sahaba ikram. Abu Talha radiyallahu anhu is engaging in namaz, in his bagh, that is in the precincts of the haram, today in the haram. And that bird is diverting his attention. And then what he says, now this is not worthy of me keeping in my milkiyat. This has diverted my attention. Whereas it was nothing haram. Was it haram? Not haram. You won't say even, nowadays you won't even say it's makruh, right? But it distracted me from my Allah Ta'ala, from my mahbub. So now I'm not going to keep it any longer. Sadqa, finish, khalas, throw it away. I tell the people now, you can't be like Abu Talha. If it's in the precincts of the haram, now it'd be worth a couple of billions, right? The precincts of the haram. Just a small little scrap phone, 5,000, 6,000, you can't scrap that. For the beloved, for the love of the beloved, you can't scrap that. At least for some sukoon. You say you want, you're coming here, you want some ihsan, right? Ihsan requires sukoon. Right? Your mind and your heart must be absolutely composed, calm. Now, I want that, but without this shart, without this condition. How is it going to happen? You're sitting in Dura, but without reading Nahu and Sarf. Does it happen? So that's like the shart, that's a precondition. You want to be there, you have to go through this whole exercise. So, you see now, we're speaking about this Sayyid Ahmad Rifai, rahmatullahi. What I was wanting to talk about was Fanayat, but in a very simple way, very simple format. Every time I bring it up, midway I'm going somewhere else. Maybe Allah wishes not the right time now. Because I think it takes quite a bit of time, you see. But if you got it, really, then you got it, you got the concept, and you put it to your heart, then you're just escalating it after that. Really, if you got it, you're escalating. And without it, the road is very, very, very lengthy. And with that fanayat, one shot, you're just moving. But maybe, I think, my people are not yet ready for that. So maybe, therefore, Allah is just turning away. I tried some times back also, telling him, they're waiting for that. But I'm coming to that point, and just turning away. But anyway, something similar, but it's not, you won't get the exact concept. So this Sayyid Ahmad Rifai, rahmatullah, he says, I've traveled this path. I've seen the beginning and the end. I've seen the breadth and the length of this path. Everything I've seen. I've seen the whole path. The beginning and then how it starts, how it ends up. Like someone says, I've seen the alim course from the beginning to the end, right? It's so much into the madrasa, so you know how it works, the whole thing, how it starts, how it ends. So you say, I've seen the whole thing. And the thing that will expedite this journey most, right, is to the extent that you will annihilate yourself and nothing, absolutely nothing. Ardizi in kisari, right? Absolutely. Ardizi in kisari, I'm nothing. I'm a non-entity. I'm just a number, right? Not even a number. So that type of mindset must not just be a concept. It must be a behavior that I'm nothing. One person came to Raipur in the day of Mawlana Raipuri Rahmatullahi, and he began to make tawajjuh on Mawlana Raipuri Rahmatullahi's heart. So he said, hey, there's nothing here, man, nothing here. Then he said, all right, let me make tawajjuh for the second time. When he made tawajjuh for the second time, he said, hey, I am grossly mistaken. This man, at any given time, he says, Me kuch nahi, that's what he's saying. And what I thought, that he's nothing. And then I discovered that this is what he's saying, within his heart, I'm nothing, absolutely nothing. His heart is saying, apni nafi kar raha hai, I'm nothing. So he says, the thing that will expedite this journey, make it very, very swift, is this ardizi and kisari. At any given time. Mufti Sahib used to say the same thing. I didn't know what he was saying. But now that I'm doing this, now I know what he was saying. He would say, Rishta dar gardan of gandam, something like that. That's what he used to say. He said, the string, the master has placed the string over my neck, and he takes me wherever he pleases. That used to be his standard answer. So in other words, I don't have a choice of my own. He leads me. Go this way, go that way, go here, don't go here. He is doing the instruction. I'm just following the instruction. And all these Buzruganadin had the same, but in different formats. Hazrati Rahmatullahi, at any given time, there would be about 15, 20 aeroplane tickets come through this country. So how can I go? He would say it in a very simple manner. Say, there's so many people coming here. The real thing was, وہاں سے اجازت نہیں. That was the thing. وہاں سے اجازت نہیں ملی. They're working in the secret service, what? Divine secret service. So there is no permission from there. How can he move? The Shaykh, when he went to London, so he asked the Mufti Sahib, Mufti ji, bataya kya hua? So now, Mufti Sahib knows what Shaykh wants, right? Because of the affinity and the attachment. So, me batao. Say, show, sabhi keh raha hu. आपको कह रहा हूं बताओ मुझे क्या पूछते हो उसको पूछो जिसने आपको भेजा यहां पर व्हाट यू आस्किंग मी द वन दैट सेंट यू आस्क ही नोज इट ही आस्क हिम द शेख वेप्ट हां रोजे मुबारक से इजाजत होती है तो मैं जाता हूं आई गेट परमिशन फ्रॉम द नबी सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम देन आई मूव Every step of mine is with ijazat. I don't do it of my own. So this fanayat, it takes a lot of time. It's not a difficult thing. You think it's difficult. It's not a difficult thing. So this Sayyid Ahmad Rifai rahmatullahi says that I found this to be the most expedient thing. You know, just cause you to fly. But how do you get this? How do you bring about this? One is the sheikh, you make his itaat, etc. Don't displease him. Whatever he tells him, just carry on. Don't say why and when, why is it do this, why not this. So this thing is coming from a circular mindset. Circular mindset always must question. Anybody must ask question. And the Eastern concept is, mindset is, by listen to your elders. You'll get to understand things later on in life. It's Islamic. Why must we parda? No, I don't want to wear parda. Until one day someone gets raped, or someone gets abused, say, no, you need to put on parda. So you must experiment the thing first, and then do it. And here you say, just do what your elders say. Later on in life, you'll discover the underlying reasons. You may not understand it straight away. But there is a reasoning. Perhaps it's too much for you now. Later on, you'll get to know. Right? Sometimes there is hikmat. فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى أُحْدِثَ لَكَ مِنُهُ ذِكْرًا Khizr alayhi salam also, he put up a condition. لَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ Don't ask me anything. So doesn't the senior have the right to say, don't ask. Just carry on. If you got the confidence and the respect for me, then just move on. Don't ask. And they tell you, you must know first, then their path is very complicated. You must get messed up. So the whole West, you know, the whole West is messed up. Like I was explaining to you that in Manar, there's about over 90% of them all illegitimate. So much of mess up. Right? So they have to go through their experience, then they say, hey, no, man, this thing is not right. So anyway, coming back, he says, this type of feeling, how do you get it? One is listening to the Shaykh. Apart from listening to the Shaykh, three things he says. One is adherence to the Sunnah. The bigger Sunnah, smaller Sunnah. External, internal, all Sunnah. Right? Number two, he says, to respect anything of deen. Everything like the Sha'ir, etc. of deen, to respect it at any time. Like Azan, Namaz, Quran Sharif, Zikr, Tilawat, coming to the Masjid, anything that relates to deen. See, fazilat to adab ke andar muzmar hai. This virtue and merit is within adab. And I always say this, you know that Arbi Mota, you remember? It was in Tabligh Jamaat, yeah. Very simple person, but sometimes we would say some things, you know, it makes you think. So I asked him one day, you know, but today there's so much ilm and all that, aren't we better than your time? He said, no, Mullah, you're masjid. So what's our role? So in this zamana, there's a lot of information, like in adab nahi hai. That was a great point he made, very great point. Now look at it. Right? Obedient child looks at his parents with respect. One hat sawab is good. With respect, right, and love. No respect, will you get that sawab? You think to yourself, will you get that sawab? So what this man was saying? Something very great he was saying. At that time, unfortunately, I couldn't understand what he was saying. But this thing haunts me. Really, I should have appreciated what the man was saying. Simple person, a very clean heart. And people will shout at him and all that. He'll just ignore it and carry on. I traveled many times with him. He'll just ignore it. Doesn't take anything serious, nothing at heart. You're making wuzu and made miswak, adab. Say, I'm going to talk to Allah Ta'ala. But adab requires I must have a clean mouth. So you made wuzu, made miswak. The sawab is multiplied 70 times. Minus the adab, 70 times less. You see it? See that adab? So it's called madar adab ke upar hai, bhai. The whole thing is on adab. How you're dressing? Are you going to the Haram Sharif? No adab you got. It's possible that all the good that you took, you left. Like you see in Jummah, right? You made all that adab, everything, and came to the Jummah, right? So for every step, 1 year sawab, right? And if you messed it up, for example, takhatta ar-riqab, jumping over people's shoulders and all that, you lost out everything, all that virtue is gone. She said, minus adab, you lost out. And with that adab, every step, and where are you escalating yourself? See that? Just that adab. Huh? With that adab, where are you going? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. They got no brains, right? They'd shout to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no adab. And then, أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. Those that are shouting, what Allah says, أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. تمہارا عمل ضائع ہو جائے گا اور تمہیں پتا بھی نہیں چلے گا. All your deeds will go null and void. And you won't even realize it. But because of what? Think it to yourself. Because of what? Minus that adab. So sometimes this Busuganadin, they say things very short. You have to think about it. Think about it. When you think about it, then the thing, yeah, man, this is where we're missing out. And a lot of this adab you see in these old people. The old people you see. See like, maybe your Nanima or Dadima's Quran Sharif. Eh? She got that big font and they'll have two gilafs over it. And then when she's reciting, she got it on the takia, she'll kiss that thing, put it by the forehead, put it by the chest, and then she'll recite. Won't she do that? See the respect. Now, the child, now you're just reading Quran Sharif, so put into the school bag, satchel, other books and the Quran Sharif, everything. Any adab, any distinction for the Quran Sharif. So, uske dil mein Quran Sharif ki kya waqt hogi? What do you think of the Quran Sharif? So this is the first thing he says. The second thing, first is sunnat, then this. And the third thing is kindness to one and all. You know, you look at the hadith, everywhere this person caught his jannat because of what? Some kindness. Thirsty dog, give it water, jannat. Huh? This morning, when I was reading that incident yesterday, that king was in Zoom all the time and he took care of a dog, right? Right? And on account of that, Allah gave Jannat. So, one woman is making some cheese and passing around to the neighbors, getting a Jannat. But you see this act of kindness, irhamu man fil ard, irhamkum man fis sama. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib kata.